Back Nigh to This Evening, and Saturday Night Theatre.
The Hessian by Howard Fast, adapted for radio by Ramsey Williams, with Derek Jacobi as Evan Feversham, Patricia Gallimore as Alice, and Ian Hogg as Squire Hunt. The Hessian. It is a May morning in Connecticut in the year 1781.
There, Rodney. I'm sure that's the best way. Cut them just above the dead wood, about halfway up the stem.
If you say so, Doctor.
I sometimes wonder, Alice, if I'm not wasting my time trying to grow grapes in this wretched soil.
Oh, they look healthy enough to me, Evan.
Yeah, they looked healthy enough last year, but the wine set one's teeth on edge.
You're just too impatient.
I doubt grapes were ever meant to grow here. Although, there is a legend to the effect that the Vikings once came to Connecticut and called it Vineland. Did you ever hear anything about that, Rodney?
Eh?
Folk stories or the like.
I never heard of no Vikings hereabouts. Perhaps they was high-top folk. I remember once...
What is it, Rodney?
Someone come in, boss. Someone on a small horse.
I don't hear anything. Do you, Alice?
I hear him. Just beyond the ridge. On the road from Norwalk. See? Down there. Coming this way.
Rodney, you never cease to amaze me to see, Alice. What a comical sight. A tiny man on a tiny donkey.
I think he must be a priest of sorts. He's wearing one of those ridiculous garments. What do you call it?
A soutane. Yes. Well, come, my dear. We'd better wash up if we have a visitor. Rodney, see to the priest, make him welcome, and when you've stabled that ridiculous animal, bring the priest up to the house.
Yes, Doctor.
Oh, come in, Father. Sit down, do.
Dr. Faversham.
If you will.
I am Father Hasselman, and I'm a Roman Catholic priest.
If you will, then. I'd rather stand, if I may.
Surely. My ass hurts with the agonies of the damned. Not my donkey, sir. My ass. I am cursed with boils.
I wondered what had brought a Catholic priest into this holy nest of Protestantism. But why didn't you go to Dr. Cutler in Norwalk?
I did. He said I was a journeyman from hell, and that the boils were a retribution on the part of the Almighty for being a priest.
Ah, that filthy second-rate bastard.
Ah, there is some good in him, though. He told me the way to the ridge where there was a Catholic doctor. Your good self, sir.
Which will open the gates of heaven for him, I suppose.
Ah, well, now, if boils are not a sign of God's displeasure...
They are most certainly a sign of drinking bad water and eating bad food. And if I were you, I'd stay off the back of that donkey for a few days. But I'm neglecting my duties as a host. Let me offer you something to drink.
I confess I am rather thirsty.
Then I'd better treat those damn boils. After which, it would give me great pleasure if you will honor us by staying for dinner.
Oh, thank you, Doctor. I should be proud to.
I thank and congratulate you, dear Goody Feversham. It is not usually my lot to be so royally feasted.
The Lord has blessed us.
Indeed, he has.
Lest you get the wrong idea, Father, let me tell you that my wife is a Protestant. Comely, as you perceive, but outside our faith. For my part, I've not made a confession in 5 years, but I coddle my conscience by never setting foot in a Protestant church.
Ah, yes.
For 3 years, I led a regiment against the British. Not because I loved the colonies, but because I hate the damned English. They put my father to death for no other reason than that he was a Catholic. So if I were as bored as hell with being a Catholic, for any other and every other reason, I would remain one, because the British are not.
Aye. It is exceedingly complex.
It is the manner of a doctor. Brusque but kindly. It has become a habit with him.
Not kindly.
Now, why did you leave the army? Have you soured?
Have you? Or are you some damn Tory?
Evan, what will the good father think?
That I am an insolent, irascible, and godless man, and perhaps he's right. I'm a physician. I work at my trade. I took a shot in the leg. I walk with a limp, as you may have noticed. But that isn't why I'm here. I have a right...
Evan, we sit at dinner, not at a committee meeting.
You were quite right, my dear. Well, then, tell me, Father, where are you bound for?
For Rhode Island, where 9 Catholic families asked that a priest be sent to them.
Bid, why didn't you take passage on a packet instead of riding that donkey?
Ah, there's a British frigate in the Sound, with soldiers aboard.
Redcoats, eh?
Oh, no. They were wearing green coats with yellow facings.
Hessians, by God.
Hessians?
Germans. Professional soldiers. In the service of the Elector of Hesse and the King of England. Yeah, but they're good soldiers. King George has no better in his army. Why,
Evan,
I remember...
Father Hesselman has had a long journey.
You are right, as usual, Alice.
I've had a bed made up for you, Father. I hope you'll be comfortable.
You're a damn pleasant chap. And here I've done nothing but insult you and display my bad manners.
Ah, not at all. Not even the father of the prodigal son could have been more kindly, for you healed my wounds and fed me food and will give me bed. So believe me, I pray for you in return for the love and kindness from you and your good lady. But if you will forgive me, I am tired.
Of course. Good night, Father.
Certainly. Come this way.
Good night. Come in.
Begging your pardon, Doctor.
What the devil do you want this early, Rodney?
It's Squire Hunt and Miss Jenny Perkins. That's the schoolmarm.
Yeah, I know she's the schoolmarm. And God help her charges. Why, is she sick or what?
She says she wants to talk about Saul Clamberlin.
I'll show her in then.
Doctor.
Damn frustrated spinster.
The boy is continually disrupting the class, Squire. I'm at my wit's end.
So you frequently said.
It's no good. I will speak my piece.
Speak your piece about what? Morning, Squire Hunt.
Morning, Doctor.
Oh, come in, come in.
About that great half-wit, Saul Clamberlin. He's disrupting my school.
And not yours, not mine. A school is like a church. How can you lay claim to it?
It's hardly fair on the other children.
I claim the right to teach. The boy's a mindless idiot. The children are afraid of him.
Nonsense. But I'm surprised you concern yourself with such a trivial matter, Squire. The boy's harmless. Why, isn't life stinking hard enough without showing our purposefulness against a poor, damned half-wit?
As the twig is bent, so the tree grows. But I don't see your reference to the church means much, while we haven't seen you in worship since you've been here.
There's no church in your bigoted Bethel which caters to my persuasion. However, to get back to the point, what's Saul done?
He wants to read. He desires to read the book.
The Bible, Dr. Feversham.
Yes, I am aware that the Bible is called the book, not being entirely damned by my Catholic ignorance.
We can do without impertinence, thank you, Doctor.
Oh, now you teach me manners. Well, I thank you. Look, Mom, why not just give the boy an old slate and a piece of chalk and let him sit at the back of the class?
No, but really...
He wants to learn. It's a human right. God gave us minds and put us on earth to learn. The boy's harmless enough, only a little coddled. What harm can he possibly do if he sits quietly at the back of the class?
Oh, very well. Just this once, mind. Just this once.
Almost got him. A real big one. Did you see him, Saul?
Big one.
Yeah, real big. And he got clean away. Hey, don't you mess with them worms. Give him here.
Worms.
Now let's try again. Quiet now. Oh, it's no good. The line snag. Saul, don't you go away now. What are you doing?
Trees.
Saul, don't be silly. Come back.
Trees.
Saul, quiet. Militia. No reason why. Soldiers, run, Saul, run. Come on. Saul, come back! Saul! Saul!
Here, Vader! Catch that boy.
Come and get
it's slave and chalker over. He has been making marks on the slate.
Let me see him. Have his feet, boy. Jürgen is obviously a colonial spy. He has been taking note of our movements. Hang him. You, sergeant.
Herr Oberst.
Und ihr Männer. Throw a rope over that limb. Schnell, yes, schnell.
Watch the side. That's it.
Alles fertig.
Fertig, Herr Oberst.
Take the boy.
It's only a boy, Herr Oberst.
He is a spy, Sergeant. Hang him.
You four, pull on the rope when I give the word. Pull that noose tight. Now, take the train. One, two, pull. Again. Pull.
Und Gott have mercy on your soul.
An der Reihe, Sergeant!
An der Reihe, schnell! Drama, boy! Vorwärts!
So, Zaylan Allen, you'll pay 30 shillings for the crime of poaching.
Well, that's not fair. And you, my cousin?
You talk like that again in my court and I'll break your back and do it with my own two hands.
Harry, come too, Zaylan.
You are not my cousin. I'm not even sure you're my wife's cousin, though you claim to be. But let me tell you, Zaylan Allen, if you were my blood brother, you would have justice in this court.
How are you going to prove that I poached you?
You've got your judgment, sir. This is a fair court. Dr. Faversham stands there, drinking his small beer like the fine British gentry is, and comparing. Will you have him think us worse savages than he'd done already?
I think you the soul of gentility, Squire Hunt, upon my soul.
On your Catholic soul.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt.
Now, what is the next case?
Take your time, boy, take your time. Now, what's the matter? Someone been bullying you?
You must come at once.
What's this, Hunt? Huh? Who's been hung? Now speak up,
damn you, Hunt.
Give the boy a chance.
The soldiers. Call Saul Clambam. And hang him.
Oh, come, come. There are no soldiers on the ridge or in North Connecticut, for that matter.
That's right. Yeah, he's not lying. There's a British warship off the Saugatuck, and they landed Hessian soldiers.
How do you know?
A Catholic priest stopped over the night. He saw them.
How many were there, boy?
16 and a drummer boy on
Haytop. Only 16. Salam Allah. Muster the militia. I want at least 30 men. I'll work them in an hour from now. No longer. We'll meet at Nathan Buskett's place. Salem. Don't you forget to pay that 30 shillings before you go.
He's dead. Poor little boy. I'd better cut him down.
If we lay him in the woods, the animals will be on him in no time.
We'll take him to Buskin's place.
There's no time. Understand this, Faversham. Those Hessians are not going back to their ship. I'm going to stop them.
Hans, you're not serious.
I've never been more serious in my life. Where do you think they went?
To the high ridge. Where else?
Exactly, where else? They want to see the river. They'll not stay there. 16 of them. They'll be back. This is the only way through, and when they come, we'll be waiting.
But can't you...
What the hell's wrong with you? They've hanged a man. Our man. What is it? Are you afraid? Is that it?
If you want it that way, yes, I'm afraid.
I've lived through 12 battles in my lifetime, France, Spain, and here too, and I've been afraid every time. The war is over, Squire Hunt. You know that as well as I do. The British are beaten, and you know that as well as I do. But these Germans are still the best soldiers in the world, and I say let them go.
Let them
get back to their lousy ship and sail away. And then perhaps we will live the way God meant us to.
Will you read God's word to me, Doctor? Then let me read you some. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Quiet now! Listen to me, man. I want you all down behind this wall. Well down! And you'll all shut up. If you want to pray, pray silently. Now, understand, I don't want to hear so much as a sneeze.
Oh, damn it, Abe, it may be ours.
Then let it be ours. You'll stay behind this wall until I give a whistle. Then you get up and fire. It's the first fire that counts. But once you fire, reload. If you're still alive and whole, get up again and fire at anything that's moving. Remember, these are Hessian soldiers you're dealing with.
We're not likely to forget that.
Don't you. Now, I want 10 men at each end to box it in. Kill the leaders and the trailers, and the rest of you shoot at whatever is right in front of you. That's it. Now get down, not a sound.
Abe, somebody's come in.
Stand by, men.
It's the doctor.
God damn it, Feversham, what the hell are you doing? You could give the whole damn thing away.
I cannot run, and I cannot walk bent over. And since a Hessian bullet did it, it would make for a certain poetic justice, would it not?
Damn if I see that, but you better get down here, quick. Well, surgeon, ready now?
As ready as I ever will be.
Feversham, one day you and me will have a long talk and get out all the worms that are eating us. If there's nothing else about you, I like you've got guts.
Thought I heard something, Abe.
I'm coming. Quiet now, you men. Stand by.
You're wrong, Abe Hunt. I know too much about war, and you know too little. I have no guts. With 20 birdshot wounds in him, and no, Billy, he won't live.
Oh, Doc.
You're proud of this day's work, Billy?
Is he alive?
He's dead. They're all dead.
They're soldiers.
Dead soldiers.
They came to our land. They hanged Saul Clamham. They murdered...
What difference does that make now? They're all dead. Do you intend to bury them here?
And if I did...
My God, man, they are Christians!
Doc! Hey, Doc! Oh, Jesus!
This is a messy business, War, is it not, Salem?
Doc, old man Biddle, he's sick, he's vomiting.
I'm coming, Salem. Remember, Abe, there's room enough in the churchyard.
Isaac, send for the pastor!
Hey!
No! Go yourself!
There's women and children coming across the meadow!
Keep them all away!
Don't you let the children see their heads!
Feversham,
go to hell!
What happened? sound out there. I heard guns.
Nothing happened.
Are you sick?
No, I'm not sick. Just get me some coffee.
It will be better if you talk about it. You will set it better in your heart and mind and not be in such a turmoil.
How the hell do you know what turmoil I'm in?
How can I know if you will not tell me?
Well, they slaughtered them. Stiffened in the task by that butcher Hunt.
Evan, are you not forgetting how afraid they were?
Who?
Our people.
Your people?
My people, then. And do you not think that Squire Hunt was afraid? What if it had been the other way, and the Hessian soldiers had left you and the rest of the militia lying in your blood?
What the devil are you trying to say?
I'm only trying to say that Abe Hunt is not entirely the person you think he is. He is honest and loyal, and his reputation is for the best magistrate in Western Connecticut.
Yeah, he is a righteous man. You Puritans are an amazing lot, and most amazing is your corner on righteousness.
And now you're angry?
Not at all. Me angry? No, indeed.
I'm glad to see you eating, Evan. You look tired.
Well, it's been the most trying day in the surgery, Alice.
Hounds? This time of night? What can that mean?
I don't know, Alice. Call Rodney Stefan. Ask him.
How will he know?
If there's anything to know, he'll know it.
What are the hounds doing, Rodney?
They be after the Hessian drummer boy. And they'll catch him. They wouldn't sing if they weren't on scent.
Come on, now you know a hunting hound. He'll leave any scent if he comes on bear or deer. They had nothing to prime the hounds with.
Begging your pardon, Doctor. They had the drum. The lad threw it away. They'll take him sooner or later.
Thank you, Rodney. How old would the Hessian lad be, Evan?
Well, 15. 16, perhaps. The German regiments enlist them at the age of 12.
How dreadful.
Indeed. I saw a drummer boy of 12 die at Monmouth, our own. And the Cutler twins are, what, 13, 14?
What have they to do with it?
They were at the ambush.
What will they do with him when they catch him?
Alive?
Don't be vile.
It's been a vile day. They'll try him.
For what? For running away? For being a Hessian?
For the murder of Saul Clamberham.
Pardon me, Doctor. Young Jacob Heather is outside, asking for you.
Why, is he ill?
He seems well enough. He asked to see you in private.
Did he?
Well, what the devil... Oh, all right. I'll see the lad. Well, boy, what is it?
My father said I was not to beseech thee if another stood by.
Well, we're alone now, Jacob.
Yes, sir. My father says he must come, and the need is very great, sir. Dr. Feversham, please come.
Well, who is sick? Not your mother. The baby?
I cannot tell thee.
You cannot or you will not. Come now, Jacob, it's 4 long miles to your place, and you want me to ride over there without knowing how or why?
Yes, sir. The need is very great, sir.
Indeed. Well then, Jacob, we'd better be quick.
Help me turn him on his belly. Was the blood flowing when you found him?
Slowly.
Then you don't know what he lost in the way of blood.
No. But enough. Look at the color of his skin.
Now, that's a spent rifle ball, thank God, and no wound he suffered over by buskins. I was afraid I'd find a hole in him the size of my fist and the life gone out of him. They've been taking shots at him all of yesterday and no sight of him this morning, so he must have taken the ball before the sun went down and lived with it the night through.
Here's the soap and water, Dr. Feversham.
Oh, thank you, sir. Now, I want you to help your father hold him down.
Doctor, I do not think
so. It's quite all right. She's old enough to see this. Now, Raymond, put your knee on his back and get onto the bed. I must probe this bullet out, but I don't want him to move. Now, I'll have to open the wound with a scalpel. That's the knife thing, girl. Oh. Look smart and learn something.
He will bleed to
death. No, he will not, my girl. This is the evil humor bleeding out, and God willing, it takes the pus with it. If it festers inside, believe me, you'll not live to see tomorrow. So you just grit your teeth and tell yourself, But I've taken more bullets out of men than you cracked walnuts. There.
He's dead.
No more than you are. Now, look, you Sally, I'm going to sew the wound, and you must keep the light on me. And just remember that I'm sewing in his life, and you'll learn a little craft that may do you well someday.
The wax is dripping.
Let it drip. There. There's no more I can do after this. The next day or so will tell whether he lives or dies. Then all we can do for the fever is to cool his brow and his wrists, and that is your task. Your father and mother have other work to do.
Thank thee. I will do what I may.
I serve no dinner today. Thee must know, Dr. Feversham, that we are not ourselves today. Thee understand. Please eat and comfort thee.
Thank you, Sarah. You're a good woman. Will he live, Doctor? As God wills. And if God wills him to live, then so much the greater pleasure for Abraham Hunt when he hangs the lad.
No. Squire Hunt is a just man.
Sarah, we're all just men. And we make the rules of justice. Hunt will hold a court-martial. And I've no doubt that General Packenham will come over from New Haven. And what will they find? That the lad participated in the hanging of Saul Clambram. So they will do justice. Unless they shoot him down on sight.
No, Doctor. I know what thee must feel to be a Catholic here in our land. And all the little hurts that come to thee. But thee judge us too sharply.
Not you, Sarah. I judge others.
We will pray, and we will be heard.
I'm afraid, Sarah, the doctor's right.
We will pray.
No, Sarah, they do not understand me. Oh, we will pray. But the doctor's right. They will take the boy and hang him.
No.
Believe me, Sarah, they will.
Then they shall not take the boy.
We Quakers live here by sufferance. I am a cobbler and a farmer. Thee is a man of great education experience. I am honored by thy friendship. But thee understand, as we do, what it is to live here by sufferance.
I do, Raymond.
And what shall I do?
I cannot tell you that, Raymond.
And what will thee do?
It's not mine to do anything. I'm a physician. I never ask the nationality of a stricken man. I've treated Englishmen and Americans and made no preference.
Will thee turn the lad over to Squire Hunt?
The boy's under your roof, not mine. My way is an easy way. I close my bag and I drive away. How can I tell you what your way should be?
He does not ask what his way should be. He knows his way as I know mine. He asks what thee will do.
I will go home to my house and my surgery and do my business, Sarah. Which is something I think you should know.
Now let me say this to thee, Evan Feversham. There is no Hessian. So I will swear and perjure myself before God. Up in bed lies my nephew from Pennsylvania, who grew up in the Dutch country there, where there are plenty of our people. Raymond will bury his uniform and all signs of war forever. We will be very quiet here, and in 6 months it will all be forgotten.
We don't live alone. If now was winter time, it might be, but in May...
We will do what we must, and God will provide.
So that was how it was. They have the boy hidden there.
But he is a Hessian soldier.
Alice. He's a boy.
And are you so sure that Abe Hunt will hang a boy?
He will hold a court-martial and then the thing will run wild. I'm not going to guess. I know only one thing. That the Heathers are two of the few Christians I've ever met in this Christian land. And I will not betray Sarah Heather. And I will not question any decision she makes.
And you will think whatever Sarah Heather desires you to think.
Sarah Heather is happily married. And I like to think that I am also.
And I suppose you will tell me someday that you will not question any decision I make. Oh, yes, you will indeed.
I meant nothing of the kind.
Of what kind?
If the boy were here, now, would I not abide by what you willed?
If I said turn him over to Abraham Hunt?
No. No, because war is a word to you, because you've never seen deserters hanged, even whipped to death.
In your army, not ours.
Oh, your army, my army, Christ Almighty. Was this leg of mine torn to shreds in my army? Am I suddenly a loyal Englishman every time you lose your temper with me?
Oh, Evan, don't let us build this anymore. I'm sorry.
And what of the boy?
You think I would turn him in? Is that what you think of me?
I never thought that of you.
Would I have taken him into my confidence if I'd thought that of you? Only, it makes no sense. How can they hide him?
I don't know.
Well, Sally, keeping the vigil, I see. How's the patient?
I'm afraid for him. Dr. Feversham, please do not let him die. He's kind and good. Doctor, please.
Who said he was going to die? No more nonsense. Boy, can you turn over? Does he know English?
Well, he knows some English, but he's out of his head. He does not know what they are saying.
Then help me turn him over.
All right.
There, now can you hold him, or will you bring your father?
Oh, I can hold him. Perhaps he will know me. Hans, listen to me. We help thee. Believe in me. Have faith in me.
How do you know his name is Hans? And how do you know he's so kind and good?
Because we spoke this morning.
Not so good. The wound is festering. I shall have to open it again.
Now, look, you girl. I'm going to leave the wound open and let it drain. I'll stay here by his side. Now, you go down the stairs and eat some food. Then you must sleep.
But he needs me.
He doesn't need you now. If he needs anyone, he needs me, and I shall do whatever can be done. So get out of here, and don't put your face through that door until I call you.
Because he's dying?
Because he is not dying. Now go, and send your mother up here.
Oh, my God.
Yes, that's right. You call on God. I suppose yours is even different yet again.
Sally said they asked for me. Would you eat something, Doctor?
No, dear lady, but send Jacob to my wife and let him tell her that I will be here possibly through the night. Caution him to tell her alone and not in front of Rodney Stefan. Will Sally sleep?
Oh, I think so. She's very tired. Oh, heaven, what is this Hessian boy in her life?
She's your daughter, not mine.
Will he live?
I don't know.
He's burning.
Yes. If it breaks before morning, he will live. That is all.
Oh, poor Sally, poor child. She has taken his life upon herself. Tell me, Doctor, in thy faith, is there grace?
If you are fortunate. I am not fortunate.
Did thee know that they buried the Hessian soldiers in the Congregational churchyard?
How very generous of them.
Oh, they hate too much, Evan.
Perhaps. I find very little to love in this world.
How is the lad?
Touch and go, Raymond. Touch and go.
I would have a word with thee, Doctor.
I will go down to the kitchen and prepare some food.
I have 2 shillings for payment, Doctor. I am afraid thee must take the rest in kindness.
Raymond.
I'm sorry. I will not speak of it again. We go to bed soon. Or shall I stay with thee?
No, there's no need.
Thee will call me if thee need me.
I will call you, Raymond.
I sleep lightly. Just tap on the door of my room.
Mm-hmm.
God with me.
Yes, God be with you, lad. I would pray for you if I could. Or if I thought it would be of the least help to you.
But Sally, I thought I told you to get some sleep.
I know we will live or die now, so it's better I be here, is it not?
Perhaps.
I will only live if this spirit quickens.
And will you quicken it, Sally?
Yes.
Tell me how.
With love. I love him.
Child, you do not even know him.
I know him well, Evan Feversham. We spoke yesterday and I found him, so his life is in my hand, is it not?
How do you mean you found him?
Did not my father tell thee?
No. We didn't speak of how he came to you.
Well, he was in the swamp when he came out of there and through the woods and across our meadow. And he hid himself in the hay pile in our barn. When I came in the morning to feed the chickens, I saw his hand from under the hay. Oh, I was not afraid. Then I took the hay away and wakened him. And there was no fear between us. And then I went for my father, who carried him up into the house.
But why do you say you love him? Unless you speak of your faith, which I suppose is to love every person if you can.
That is one way. I love him another way. I love him as a woman loves a man.
Now, aren't you being foolish? He is not a man, he's a boy. And you are only a child. How can you love him? You don't even know him. He's a stranger.
There are no strangers to us.
Have you spoken of this to your mother and father?
No. Only to thee to explain why I must stay here. But they will let me stay here.
If you wish, but I must say I think you're talking romantic nonsense. And if you were my own daughter, I would shake some sense into that foolish head of yours. The worst is over, Raymond. The fever is broken. The boy will live.
Oh, thank God.
Yes, and that solves nothing. This boy...
His name is Hans Pohl. He's 16 years and 9 months of age, and he has been in America 3 years already. His father was a sergeant, and he was born into the army camp. But that is not to say that he is a lost soul.
Raymond, how the devil do you know not only his name, but his character as well?
All this Sally told me. He spoke to her yesterday.
And Sally is the judge of his character?
Oh, no, Doctor, no. Only God judges.
Ah, yes, and only God dispenses mercy. And believe me, Raymond Heather, your Hessian boy will need a plentiful dollop of that.
This is good. Well, what news today? Did the hens lay? What, no fresh eggs and 7 plump new hens? Why should that be, I wonder? A little more bread, please, my dear. Alice, if something is the matter, I wish you'd tell me.
What should be the matter?
Well, you haven't spoken all day, and... Well, I thought at first you were angry because I stayed the night at Raymond's place.
Are you going there tonight also?
No. I told you the boy's out of danger. Why should I go there tonight?
Don't be a fool, Evan, or take me for one. You've been in love with that woman since the first day you laid eyes on her.
You have told me repeatedly that I'm not capable of loving anybody.
No, let us not go that way.
Although the fact is...
Stop it! Believe me, I am not troubled by any thoughts of yours concerning Sarah Heather. And I know quite well that there is nothing there. Underneath that saintly face of hers, a very dull woman resides. I only wish you could spend a week with her and be properly bored.
Then what are you so morose over?
I had a talk with Abraham Hunt.
What about?
About the Hessian boy.
Alice, you didn't...
Really, Evan?
I'm sorry.
No, I did not tell him where the Hessian is. I only asked him what they would do with the boy if they took him.
To which he replied?
They would try him and hang him.
How splendid. They will not try him and endeavour to discover just what he's guilty of. No, indeed. They will try him and hang him. First the verdict, then the trial.
Evan, try to understand. You're an Englishman and I've never quite understood what our little villages here on this continent mean to you or how you look on the people we are. But through all the long years of this war, 18 boys have gone out of our little township and have not returned. I don't think they ever will. Do you wonder that we feel a certain bitterness towards our enemies? Especially towards men who fight and kill for hire.
Bitterness or plain hatred?
Both, I suppose. Is it so strange?
No, perhaps not. I don't know. I cannot judge.
Do you imagine that I enjoy the thought that they might hang this man?
Alice, he is only a boy, not a man. But man or boy, he's my patient. And it's only fair to tell you that I'll be riding over there tomorrow afternoon.
Well, you are the doctor.
Ah, doctor! We welcome thee. Jacob, come take the doctor's horse.
Doctor, do they prefer black boots or brown?
Black boots or brown? Why?
Well, some will wear only black, some wear only brown, some do not care.
Raymond, if you're thinking of making boots for me, let me tell you plain out that I will not avoid payment in cash and accept it in kind. You cannot pay me for treating the Hessian. Do you not understand why?
Don't I think I do, but thee are gone to such bitter trouble.
As you are. And now, tell me, how is he?
Oh, famous. Incredibly so.
Well, he's young and strong. Is he still in Jacob's bed?
Yes. But threaten to get out and about. Is there trouble with me or mine?
I saw Squire Hunt the other day. He has the gout. Alice spoke to him, and he told her that when he lays hands on the Hessian, he'll try and hang him. The trial and the verdict together.
He has the gout. Poor man.
Well, I will be everlastingly damned if I understand you people and your half-baked religion. The point is, Raymond, you must get the boy out of here. And quickly. Am I right in thinking that 3 Quaker homes were burned to ash and one of them right here on Peaceable Street?
We must not think that way.
That was 3 years ago when feelings ran high. You know, what did they know, poor devils?
Quite enough to burn down the houses.
They overstate the case. These are good folk here on the ridge.
They're like any other people, Raymond. Hot-headed, prone to reject reason from any situation, and
very obedient and subject to the thinking of Squire Hunt.
How can I get the boy away? Where can he go?
Back onto the British frigate down in the Sound.
I thought of that. I rode down to Saugatuck yesterday. The ship is gone.
That is the devil's mess, is it not?
Well, thee must not fret, Doctor. God will provide for the lad.
Are you sure?
As sure as I am of the ground I stand.
Well, I must go to the boy. I have a great deal to do today, and Alice will wonder where I've got to.
And I shall be in the barn if thee needs anything, Doctor.
Thank you, Raymond.
I've been never afraid.
Not when I play the drum. I play the drum and I am begeistered. I do not know how to say it in English, but it comes from the drama. I am... What is it?
Oh, this is Dr. Feversham.
Ah, Herr Doctor, I know I think about it much. You saved my life, so my life belongs to you.
Your life belongs to nobody but you, Hans Poe. And as for saving it, this lassie here and her father and mother, they saved your life. But enough of that. Let me feel your brow.
The fever, it has gone.
So it has. Now, turn over.
Herr Doctor?
Yes?
Are you a friend, a Quaker?
No, I'm not, but I will not betray you. You were in the house of Raymond Heather, and to shelter you or not is his decision. I'm a physician, so I keep my own counsel.
No one will betray you, Hans.
Your wound has made remarkable progress.
Doctor, listen, please. I have no one in the world, because my father was a sergeant. By the stone wall, he dies with the others. I'm afraid. I know it is not manly. I do not try to help him. I run away.
You could not have helped him, Hans. It was too late. He was dead. Now we'll leave this wound open for a while. Sally, I want to talk to you outside.
Yes, Doctor.
What on earth are you up to, child?
To be still think I am a child? Look at me. I think I am a woman.
I have no intention of arguing the degree of your puberty. I'm only trying to drive some sense into that pretty, silly head of yours.
There is sense in the heart.
Do not you bloody Quakers know one damn thing about this war? It's not a game. It's not a question of ethics or Christianity. War is bloody damned insanity. If they take that boy, he won't be the first Hessian to be taken by these people. Now, do you know what hate is? Well, of all the things hated by these blue-nosed Puritans of yours, and it is quite a list, they hate the Hessian soldiers the most.
Oh, Dr. Feversham!
Yeah, no, you don't believe me. Now, have you heard of that fine old principle, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? The Hessians pinned your Connecticut farm boys up against trees, the way a collector pins butterflies. And many was the gut sprung by a Hessian bayonet that I have pushed back in and sewn up. So, one begets the other, which is always the case when fine, civilized, Christian nations decide to solve their problems with mutual murder. They will take it from the English because they figure that the English have some claim to what we have taken away from them, but they will not take it from Germans. And that is why, if they take this Hans Pole of yours, they will hang him up by the neck until he's dead. And that is why this attitude of yours is utterly childish and absurd.
Have thee finished, Dr. Feversham?
I have quite finished.
Since I have asserted that I am a woman, I will answer thee as a woman answers a man. But with less heat, I think, for I honour thee, Doctor, far more than thee appear to honour me.
For heaven's sake, Sally.
Please, let me speak, for I did not interrupt thee. Thee appear to be an authority on hate, but what do thee know of love, sir? Thee would make such a small thing of my love. Not for my life would I offend thee, but why did thee offend me?
I did not mean to offend you.
I'm sure thee did not, and I take no offence at what thee said of my faith, because thee do not know. Jesus Christ said, love thy neighbor as thyself. And this is what we try to do. So where is the great mystery? But my love is not contained. Since I was a child, I knew that one day I would love a man. But this Hessian is simple and plain and homely. Will he make it sinful or senseless that I love him? This is where they offend me.
Sally, I'm not decrying your sentiments. I know nothing about this boy. I only know that we must get him away from here, and that we must not be hindered by your feelings.
You think that my feelings hinder thee? It was I who urged my father to write to Saugatuck and look for the British ship. But now there is no ship to take him away, is there? But tell me how we will take him to safety and see how I hinder thee.
There must be some way.
Then when thee know the way, come to us and tell us.
Evan.
I thought there was something. What is it?
I would like Abraham Hunt and his wife to come to dinner.
We've never had them to dinner before.
All the more reason why there should be a first time.
You know how I feel about him.
Of course I do.
And how he feels about me.
You've given up with the Hessian boy, have you not?
What do you mean, given up?
There's no way to save him, so he will die. I do not want him to die, but if he does, he will live always between us. Do you not see that?
No, I do not.
It is something I feel deeply, and I think that if Abraham Hunt comes here, we can talk to him about this thing.
And tell him where the boy is.
No, of course not. I only mean that we might be able to reach out and touch him.
Reach out and touch Abraham Hunt?
How can you and I ever come together if you make no effort to understand us, to know who we are? We're not barbarians, Evan. We're plain Christian people who were persecuted and driven for 100 years before we came to this land. If we'd not been hard and narrow and righteous, how could we have endured?
Righteous? Oh, God, yes.
You have money. You're a doctor. And my own father was a ship owner. But these are plain, poor people. Think of what a will it took to scratch a living out of this wretched Connecticut soil. The will that raised up the hundreds of miles of stone wall you see here on the ridge.
And so you want Abraham Hunt to come here?
Yes.
Very well. We will try. Believe me, Alice, I will try.
A good morning to thee, Squire Hunt. And what would thee?
Good morning, Goody Heather. I'm sorry for my abrupt appearance unannounced, as 'twere.
Thee are welcome. Come in.
Thank you.
I have hot water on the hearth and a sense of this morning's coffee. It makes a poor drink, but will thee have some?
No, thank you, Goody Heather. Only a word with Jacob. Now, lad.
Yes, sir?
When you saw the Hessian soldiers, did you mark the one with the drum?
Yes, sir.
Was he a boy or a man?
He was a man.
How old a man?
16 or 17 years.
Then he was a boy.
I will be a man when I'm 16 or 17 years. I will do what a man must do.
By God, you will. I like him. He's a damn fine boy, Heather. Was he tall, Jacob?
Like a man.
Well, I suppose that's all I'll get out of him. I'll be on my way. Once again, I apologize for my intrusion.
They are always welcome here, Squire Hunt.
Do you still pursue the search for the Hessian?
We do. And we shall catch him, Raymond Heather. Never you fear.
Oh, I see you're setting 6 places to this famous dinner party.
I've invited John Dorset and his wife, Zipporah.
The minister? That was a kindly act. He's somewhat bent by the necessity of being a gentleman and something of a scholar without sufficient finance for either.
He's a good man, and I hope, Evan, that you will act the part of a host to all of them.
Oh, I have given you my word. But judging from what I've seen in the kitchen, you are not being the best of hostesses.
What do you mean?
Those great ribs of beef? They're not calculated to alleviate 8 pounds gout.
Oh.
Yeah, but never mind. I'm sure our squire will enjoy them. And you can hardly be expected to serve gruel to a dinner guest.
Excellent wine, Evan. I ain't no such fare to offer at Heather's when I call there.
You were there, Abraham?
Yes, Alice, to inquire about the Hessian soldier.
They are strange folk.
There, I agree, Goody Dorset. How they've lived through the years of war with quiet resignation, accepting the outbursts of anger from others and the general climate of contempt.
Well, they are God-fearing people. And if they rendered us no assistance, they certainly were of no comfort to the British.
At the great Battle of the Ridge, they took British wounded into their homes and attended them.
As they took in our wounded.
Ah, war, charity, go poorly together, Abigail. You, John, you'll disagree with me. But we reason from our calling, do we not? You're a preacher, I'm a soldier.
War without charity is a ghastly thing. If we cease to be Christians on the battlefield, then God help us. Do you not agree with me, Dr. Feversham?
With some reservations.
What do you mean?
Only that I've never seen evidence of Christianity on a battlefield.
Not even in your own calling?
It comes home in my own calling. You see, you're in a most peculiar position as a surgeon on a battlefield. and trying to repair what grapeshot musket balls and bayonets have accomplished is hardly an occupation which enlivens a man's faith.
I find nothing quite as boring as military talk. But anyway, Abraham, you will admit that the Heathers are pleasant people.
Well, pleasant enough to me. But damn if I can understand people without pride.
You find the Heathers without pride?
As I consider any man who will not stand up and fight for what is his, I deem it contemptible.
And you say no virtue in humility?
Damn if I do. Humility's a claptrap word. When the British come into my land, burn my home, slaughter my livestock, ravage my fields, I might have turned the other cheek. A man cannot live that way, not without degrading himself.
Well, they appear to live that way without any particular degradation.
Do they now? I would say they live in peace and comfort because others were willing to fight their battles. Where would they be if we bowed our heads as they do?
Oh, is not such a judgment too simple?
I am a plain and simple man.
I wish you were as plain and simple when you got into an argument at home. It becomes so complex I cannot follow him at all.
That is truly characteristic of a husband.
But, Evan, well, why not become a Quaker if you agree with him?
Meaning that even the Society of Friends is preferable to the Pope.
Evan.
Well, I didn't say that I agree with them. In fact, I don't. I simply say that I find their way of life admirable.
But how can you think a thing admirable if you disagree with it?
I'm afraid that, like Squire Hunt, I lack both the courage and the desire to turn the other cheek.
Courage? I think it takes damn little courage.
But, Dr. Feversham, do you think there was ever a cause more just than ours?
I thought somewhat about justice when I made it mine.
Oh, you bully him, Alice. Indeed you do. Do not deny it.
No one bullies Evan. It might appear so, but truly no one does.
Then he must answer my question. Was there ever a cause more just than ours?
I do not know.
You retreat for shame.
No, not at all. I plead ignorance. Perhaps Cromwell's cause was as just as ours, but since I'm a Catholic, I could hardly be expected to look on it in precisely that light. You see, my dear Abigail, when nations quarrel, each has a very just cause, and God is always on the side of them both.
Oh, my dear doctor, your cynicism is hardly worthy of you.
I'm not a cynic. I wish I were. At least there's some comfort in cynicism.
If you feel as you do, why did you join on our side?
I chose this side for a few obvious reasons, which I thought you were aware of. For one thing, I married an American girl, for whom I care deeply. For another, my house stands here, and people sick and hurt in this region are my patients. For a third, I felt that the British have behaved stupidly and abominably. And for a fourth, I am a Catholic, and the British have not been kind to me or mine. Now, I don't know whether those are reasons enough, but neutrality is not in my nature. I do not admire it.
Yet your Quaker friends are neutral, are they not, Doctor?
Perhaps. Or perhaps not.
Pray, how can they be both?
Well, possibly they consider that they're on the side of mankind.
What is it, Dooklick boy? You found something, have you? What is it, Anne? What is it, boy?
Doggy.
Oh, hello there, little girl. You must be one of the Heather youngsters. Hey, you're a bit young to be so far from home.
Doggy.
Right. His name's Dooklick, the best hunting dog in all Connecticut. And, well, I'm Salem Allen. What's your name?
Annie. Doggy's digging.
You're blame right he's digging. Hey, what's he found? Hey, damn me if it ain't a coat. By God, it's a uniform. A Hessian uniform. You've got a good nose, Dooklick. You smell that blood and it must be weeks old. Hey, dirty, don't run away. The stop. Dooklick! Back, sir! Dooklick! Here, Dooklick! Leave her alone! Why do you always have to get so excited? Never you mind, boy. You turned up something that's going to be very interesting to my high and mighty cousin, Squire Hunt. Hessian uniform. I'd ought to put a little silver in old Salem's pocket. Good boy, Dooklick. You're a good boy.
Oh,
Thank God that he's here, Evan.
Raymond, why on earth didn't you bring Annie to me?
I think there'd be trouble over Hans Paul.
Whose dog was it? That's the main thing. We must find the dog. What did you ask her? Did you try to find out?
You mean if the dog was mad?
A mad dog tears. This is simply a hold on the child's arm. But to be sure, we must find out.
Annie, who was it dug up the Hessian's uniform?
What?
It was a red dog.
Good girl. Now, did he have soap on his face? Like when your father shaves?
No. It was a red dog with an ugly, dirty man.
But he didn't have soap on his face?
No. He dug up a green coat. The ugly man called him back, and I ran home.
What was the man's name?
I don't know. The doggie was red. They called him Duklik.
Damned if I don't think it's Salem Allen's beast. Now, if that is so, then the dog wasn't mad. But how long do you think it'll be before they're here? Why the hell couldn't you have burned the bloody uniform?
Squire Allen is here with the militia.
Oh, what shall we do?
All of you, do nothing and say nothing. Believe me, there's no way out now unless a miracle happens. But I don't want that boy hurt or shot. Remember now, do nothing.
What do you want here, Squire Hans?
You know what I want. I want the Hessian. I know he's here, and I'll find him if I have to pull a place down.
Suppose I said that he's not here.
Do not be a fool, Feversham. I've had a notion he's here for some time now. Now I have his coat.
Take the coat and get out of here, sir. This is our land, and he has no place here.
Well spoken, but it is pointless. Will you tell it's pointless, Feversham?
I'm afraid he's right, Sally.
But you don't let them hurt him, Doctor.
What will you do with him, Hunt?
You know what I will do with him. We're not going to beat him or torture him. We'll lock him up, and when General Patnam gets here, we'll hold a trial. Now, understand me. I want no trouble with the Heathers. There are those who hate the friends I do not. What these people do, they do out of their own way. But I want the Hessian, and there's no one here can stop us from taking him. Where is he?
I have your word for what you say. As between us, as between two men who have respect for each other?
Yes.
You must bring him out, Sally.
But they will kill him!
No, they're going to try him in a court. Squire Hunt will not hurt him now, so go to him and make him understand that he must give himself up. You must do it, Sally.
I do dearly hope you're not playing a game with me, Feversham.
Well, you see the barn? The boy's in there. Now, where could they go? You'll have him long enough, Hunt. Be patient.
Have you heard any news today?
Rodney says General Pakenham will arrive soon. His information is usually accurate, though God knows how he comes by it.
Do you know Pakenham?
Yeah, only too well. I was at Saratoga when he had his quarrel with Colonel Stark. Stark came close to killing him for what he felt was Pakenham's cowardice. His command in this area is a tribute to the fact that the war has gone elsewhere.
Who will defend the boy?
Well, I suppose Pakenham will bring a defending lawyer from New Haven.
And if he did, after what you tell me of him, what difference could it make? Would you defend him, Evan?
Would you want me to?
I don't know what I want. I don't know what side I'm on, if there are any sides. You did save his life.
The wound healed itself. I did what I could, but if you're thinking that I could defend him now... No, it's impossible. I'm a doctor, not a lawyer.
You're a colonel in the army. You still have your rank. You led a regiment. Certainly you'll appear to anyone they would bring in from New Haven.
He must have a lawyer.
And do you think they'll find him one in the next day or two? Do you really think they'll find him a lawyer?
General Pakenham, this is Colonel Feversham.
Ah, a colleague.
General.
Always pleased to meet a patriot. Have we not met before?
At Saratoga, General. I led the 11th Connecticut Volunteer Riflemen, or what was left of them.
I see.
Feversham is a physician, General Pakenham. I spoke to you with him. He tended the Hessian's wound.
In other words, this is the man who took it upon himself to shelter and heal and give aid and comfort to a malignant enemy of our cause.
I sheltered no one, General. As for healing, I have performed that same function on many battlefields and have yet to be reprimanded for it.
Then perhaps the time's at hand, Feversham. The squire tells me that with every loyal militiaman hunting this Hessian, You laughed up your sleeve with the knowledge of where he was. I would not sleep well or easily if I were you. Who knows whether this trial might not be broadened?
Are you threatening me, sir?
Informing you, sir.
I do not threaten, I do not inform. But I must remind you, General, that I was very close to Colonel John Stark. We were much like brothers. I also have, in my desk at home, a personal letter from General Washington, thanking me for the reorganization of his medical services, and begging me to call on him, if need be. I may add that I am still part of a commission for hospitals, headed by Dr. Benjamin Rush, who is a friend of mine, and also a member of the Congress. I simply cite this so that when you make your threats...
I make no threats.
Good. I assume we both dislike threats. Now, if I may take up my business with Squire Hunt.
As you please, sir.
I'm listening, Feversham.
Thank you. Now, while the General here has ample credentials to sit as military judge and prosecutor...
General St. August will sit with me as prosecutor.
Very well, but who will defend the Hessian?
The court will defend him.
True, there is some precedent for that, but where the court consists of two officers only... Will Squire Hunt here sit on the court?
He is chief witness, I believe. However, I do not understand your concern, Colonel Feversham. As I have heard this case described, there appears to be no reason on earth why justice cannot be swiftly and competently done. Do you doubt my ability to conduct a just court?
No, sir.
Do you come here to plead for the Hessian?
I came because I believe that a military lawyer should sit and defend. Would you allow me to sit on the court?
You, sir, are even more involved than Squire Hunt. I know of no command you hold, sir. Have I been misinformed?
I hold no command.
Then I suggest, Mr. Feversham, that you have faith in the cause I represent and in the uniform I wear.
There is nothing I can do, Feversham.
Would you allow me at least to talk to the boy, to advise him, to help him with his defense?
What boy, sir? What boy do you refer to?
The Hessian, Hans Pohl. He is only a boy of 16 years.
What kind of talk is this? Have you never seen boys of 16, 15, 14 even in our own ranks? Have you never seen them lying dead, having paid the highest price a lad can pay?
Still, that does not change the fact.
I know one fact, Mr. Feversham. The man is a Hessian. He wore a Hessian uniform and he took Hessian pay. He killed for hire.
God damn that! Every soldier who ever set foot from a ship onto our soil killed for hire. Hessian, British, French, Scot. What damn difference does he make? They all kill for hire. The whole filthy game is played for hire. I am only asking you not to make us like them. To show some Christian mercy.
Christian mercy? I had not known that you came over to our faith, sir. I had heard that Rome was your first allegiance.
You stinking cowardly bastard!
We will come to order. I hereby convene a military court in the name of the sovereign state of Connecticut and the Continental Congress. Bosley Crippett, clerk.
General Jonah Packman, presiding with the commission of the military council of the state. Colonel Albert St. August, sitting with him. These are summary proceedings under a state of war. The accused is one Hans Pohl, a soldier in the army of the Elector of Hesse, and sworn to action under the flag of King George III, England.
I do not see Raymond Heather, Squire Hunt. I warranted him. Why was no subpoena served upon him?
There was no need to be that formal. He was here. I sent him home for his son.
Formality is the nature of things military, Squire. When will he be here?
Within the hour.
Bring the prisoner before the court.
You cannot go on this way, Evan. It must not.
It does not matter how it goes on.
Untie the prisoner.
You stand before a legally constituted military court of this sovereign state. Do you understand that?
Yes.
What is your name?
Hans Pohl.
Your regiment?
16th Jäger.
Your rank?
Private soldier.
The clerk will read the charge.
Let us charge. Now, on the 16th day of May, in the year of our Lord, 1781, the prisoner was one of a detachment of Hessian soldiers who made an incursion into the territory of the town of Redsfield. In the course of this incursion, they met with a citizen, one Saul Clamorum, unarmed and dressed in civilian clothes. Without any cause of any kind, and without trial or reason, they hanged him by the neck until he were dead. The court charges that every member of the detachment of Hessians was equally guilty of this cruel and wanton murder, and so deserves a punishment in kind.
How does the prisoner before the court plead to this charge?
He's Christianist. I do not understand.
How do you plead, sir? You must give an answer. Either you are guilty or you are not guilty. Which is it?
I do not understand.
What is there that defies your understanding? The charge is simple and plain. Are you guilty of the murder of one Saul Clamberham, or are you not guilty? How do you plead? Then if you will not plead, I must plead you and accept your silence as a statement of guilt.
You will not, sir! This is damnable! The boy speaks kitchen English and no more! He doesn't understand half the words in the charge!
How dare you interrupt this trial? Who gave you permission to speak?
Since when is a man guilty before the trial?
One more word, Feversham, and I eject you. You're here by sufferance. One more word, and I eject you.
This is a misunderstanding, is it not, Colonel St. August? As I understand it, you're going to plead him not guilty. I think there's nothing else you can do, sir. He's not yet being tried or heard.
If he pleads guilty, he pleads guilty. There is no illegality in that.
Then make it clear to him.
Hans Pohl, did you murder Saul Clamberham?
No, I do not murder him.
Then you plead not guilty?
I do not murder him.
Very well, you may call the first witness. Call Miss Jenny Perkins.
I am right, sir, Bosley Crippet.
Come forward. Here, put your hand on a boat. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and not mother truth?
Well, say I do.
I will say nothing of the sort. I am not given to lying. You do not know that, Bosley Crippet. You are a fool, and I have no intention of taking an oath. It is an unchristian thing.
This is different.
It is not.
So long as she places her hand on the book.
You see that I have.
Very well. Now, what is your name, madam?
I am unmarried, sir. My name is Jenny Perkins. If you had given your attention...
Please, only answer my questions.
Very well. Ask sensible questions.
Did you know one Saul Clamberham?
I did.
How long did you know him?
As long as I remember.
Did you know his family?
He had no family. He was left with Goody Allison by people passing through. Worthless people. Goody Allison took care of him until she passed on. After that, he lived from hand to mouth, and no one took care of him. God forgive us. If he had proper care or love or home or hearth, he would not have been playing his foolish games with the Hessians.
Do you mean he was irresponsible?
His mind was addled. He was a small child in a man's body.
You're a school teacher here at the Ridge.
I am.
Did you try to teach Saul Clamberham?
Yes, I tried, but it was hopeless. He would stay away for months on end, and then he would come back to the school again.
And why would he come back?
Because he wanted so desperately to learn.
Was he dangerous?
He would not hurt a fly. He was gentle.
Oh. Thank you, Miss Perkins. That will do.
It's very hot in here. Can we not have a window open? There are delicate women and little children in this room. Call the next witness. Jacob Adler. Put your hand on a book.
No, sir.
Do not understand him, boy. He wants to swear you in for the truth. Put your hand on the Bible and swear to tell the truth.
We do not swear. I must not.
Damn it, you will swear, or I will know the reason why.
Let it be, General. What difference does it make?
It must be in the record.
Well, we will not rightly have a record, because Bosley here cannot get down one word for every three that are spoken. So we might as well let it be and have the boy speak.
What is your name, boy?
Jacob Heather.
Well, Jacob, a fine-looking lad. How old are you?
12 years.
12 years, indeed. Now, will you tell us where you were on the 16th of May?
I do not know.
Do not know? How could you not know or remember where you were on the 16th of May?
Because I do not know when it was.
Ah, then I must refresh your memory. It was the day the Hessians hanged Saul Clamberham. Do you remember the day?
Yes.
But where were you then when you saw the Hessians?
On Haytop.
And what were you doing there?
Hiding.
Why were you not at school?
It was a meditation day.
What do you mean, a meditation day?
Thee remain at home and look into thy heart.
But you were at Haytop. What did you see?
The Hessians.
Why did you not run home when you saw them?
I was too frightened. I hid.
Was Saul Clamberham with you?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Why did he not run away?
They had a rope around his neck. And his hands were tied.
Come now, Jacob. Do not be afraid. No Hessian can hurt you here. Tell us what they did to Saul Clamberham.
They threw...
Must they
do
this to him?
Only he saw it.
Everyone knows what he saw.
Everyone wants to hear it again. Death is very special. See how everyone is.
Come now, Jacob, be a man. Speak up.
There's a rope over a tree and pulled him up.
Now, Saul Clamberham was a large man. Did one Hessian pull him up into the tree? And how many men pulled the rope and hanged Saul Clamberham? Was it one man, two men? Answer, boy.
Why do you torture him?
I will not have interrupted,
three
madam.
Three men, four men, five men, or was it a whole detachment on the rope? How many?
I do not remember.
Did you not tell Squire Hunt here that there were 16 men and a drummer and another man on a horse? How did you know?
I counted them.
And you were right. Now let me ask you this, Jacob. Do you refuse to answer now because every last one of those men put their hands on the rope and dragged Saul Clamberham to his death? Is that it?
No. There were four men.
Oh, now you know there were four men. Possibly there were six men or ten men or...
No!
Oh, let the boy be. What does it matter how many men pulled the rope? The detachment hanged Clamberham.
Let the boy stand down. Next witness.
Raymond Heather. Shall I try and swear him, Your Excellency?
Be damned with it. He's the boy's father.
State your name.
Raymond Heather.
Did your son tell you what he saw when the Hessians hanged Saul Clamberham?
Yes, he told me.
Did he tell you how many men were on the rope?
Yes. He told me that four men dragged the rope. God forgive them and rest their souls.
We're not asking for your preachment, sir. We ask for the truth.
I gave thee the truth.
Oh, and what would it have been if your son had not spoken of four men?
The boy does not lie.
And I suppose you do not lie. Does this religion of yours forbid you to lie, or does it give you license to lie when the mood takes you to lie?
It forbids me to lie. For when I lie, there is no refuge for me or place to conceal it.
You gave this Hessian, Hans Pohl, shelter in your house.
He was sick and wounded. I could not turn him away. I was forbidden to turn him away.
Who forbade you?
My faith.
So, this faith of yours forbids you to lie, and it forbids you to turn away an enemy soldier. Is it no lie to conceal what you knew your neighbors sought? You live in peace and safety because we take up arms to fight and die. And yet, when a word would mean safety and security to those who protect you, you chose to be silent. If that is no lie, then I know not what falsehood is.
I chose between a man's life and a lie.
Yet you ask us to believe that when the father is a liar, the son spoke the truth. You may go back to your seat, sir.
Call the next witness. Abram Hunt. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Squire Hunt, you were here at this inn when Jacob Heather came with the news about the Hessians. Did he tell you how many there were?
Yes, he did. 16 Hessians and the drummer and an officer. His count was right.
And did he tell you how many dragged the rope that hanged Saul Clamberham?
He did not.
Why not?
Because I didn't ask him.
You're not curious, Squire Hunt.
Not at that moment, Colonel. At that moment, I'd only one thought, that the Hessians must be stopped.
And what did you do then?
I rode to High Top with Dr. Feversham. I hoped that they might have done their work poorly and that Saul was alive.
But he was dead. Was there no indication of how many men were on the rope that hanged him?
No, sir, no. It makes no difference who held the rope. The Hessians hanged him.
I agree with you, Squire Hunt. The Hessians hanged him. You do not have to testify if you do not wish to. We're not British. We have no Star Chamber proceedings. We do not force men to testify against their will. But if you want to speak and answer my questions, we'll be glad to listen to you.
I will answer questions. I do not murder anybody.
I didn't ask you that. You will answer only when a question is asked of you.
Yes, sir.
Now, where did your detachment come from?
From New York.
How did you come to Connecticut?
On Rich's frigate.
What was the military purpose of your voyage? If you do not understand my question, say so. Your English appears to be good enough. Where did you learn to speak English?
I am 3 years in America.
I see. Now, you say you came from the British frigate that sailed into Long Island Sound. And I ask you, what was the military purpose of the warship?
I do not know.
Why was your detachment landed and sent up to the ridge?
I do not know that. Such things are not for me.
How did the soldiers come to take Saul Clambram prisoner?
You see him in woods. He tried to hide, but not so good, no?
Did he fight back?
No.
What did you do then?
We stand at ease and wait for Captain's decision. He says the Yankee man is spy. This man, he has piece of... from schoolhouse, you write with chalk. Slate. On slate are marks, one for each man. So it's information, and Captain says, it tells him he is making intelligence, and only spies make intelligence.
Did Clambram know what the captain said? Did Captain Hauser speak in German or in English?
Yeah. Captain Hauser is here only 5 months. He knows no English. My father...
Your father? What has your father got to do with this?
My father, he's sergeant. My father speak English, but not good. My father tells the Yankee man.
And then?
He does not want to die.
No, he does not want to die.
You heard the testimony here to the effect that this man, Saul Clambram, was a half-wit. Do you feel proud because you hanged a half-wit?
We do not know he is half-wit.
Were there numbers on the slate?
Marks.
And did it not strike you as strange that a grown man could not write numbers?
Even some men in my regiment, they cannot write down numbers, no. They do not read or write.
But you yourself, Hans Pohl, did you see nothing strange in the foolish behavior of this man?
I see something strange, yeah.
And it occurred to you that he might have been a half-wit.
I think he is a little crazy, yeah.
But you did nothing.
What can I do? If I talk to Captain Hauser, I am punished.
You could talk to your father.
No.
So you did nothing while this unspeakable murder took place? How was he hanged?
The rope over the tree.
And how many men dragged the rope and played the role of hangman?
Four.
Who were those four? Can you name them?
I think not. I am not sure.
Were you one of the four men?
No.
Then let us suppose that your Captain Hauser had ordered you to act as hangman. What would you have done?
I am good soldier. I obey orders.
The court will adjourn for 3 hours while we consider our verdict. Yes.
General Packham, I want to plead.
Do not think we have anything to say to you, Feversham.
I want to plead.
Oh, nonsense. Men like you do not plead. Trouble with your kind, Feversham, is that you take everyone else for a fool. Take it for granted that everyone is transparent, but that no one sees through you. Well, go ahead and plead, Feversham.
Do not hang the boy. I ask you with all my heart, General Packenham. I beg of you, do not hang him. Sell him out as a chattel. That's punishment enough.
For murder? Come, Feversham.
He's no more guilty of murder than I am. Please, I beg it of you as an officer and a gentleman.
I return the compliment, Feversham. I'm damned if I know how an officer and a gentleman survives up here on this lousy ridge. The food's not fit for pigs and the beer's warm and sour, too. Have a drink with us, Feversham, and let bygones be bygones. Pleading doesn't become you. You heard the evidence, did you not?
The military
Military Court of the Commonwealth of Connecticut is now in session. General Jonah Packman presiding.
Have them stand.
Everybody rise.
Bring in the Hessian. Have you anything to say, Hans Pohl, before this court passes sentence on you?
I do not murder any man. Ich bin ein Hesse. I am Hessian soldier. I am a Jäger. If I must die, I will die like a Jäger.
Then hear the sentence of this court. You have been found guilty of premeditated murder of an American citizen. We have heard all the evidence, and we've pondered upon it, and we find no extenuating circumstances. Therefore, we sentence you to be hanged by the neck until dead. And may God have mercy on your soul.
Evan, how did Sally Heather take the verdict?
I do not know, Alice. The verdict was no surprise to her. She appears to have walled herself off. But then, I do not know those people. I thought I did, but I do not.
Rodney Steffen says that Pakenham and St. August never even discussed the verdict. He says they sat in the inn and stuffed themselves with food.
There's very little he misses. Did he also tell you that I saw them?
That you pleaded with them, and then had a bitter argument with Abraham Hunt.
No, not bitter. Hardly any argument at all.
When you told Sally Heather that it was a death sentence, did she weep?
No. She went to her father and embraced him.
Evan, tell me this. If you'd known Sarah Heather 18 years ago before she married, would you have asked her to marry you?
Alice, I was not even in America 18 years ago. It's a damn foolish question, isn't it?
Please, try to answer me.
Then the answer is no. I would not have married her. Because it's not enough to share love. There is agony to be shared, and I don't think she could ever sense what my agony is. They're all so far from it and so removed from it, as you are not. Come to bed, and we'll hold each other for a while.
It is a mournful sound, is it not?
The building of a gallows is a mournful business, Pastor.
Quite. Let me shut the window. Now, sir, what can I do for you?
It's about the Hessian, Hans Pohl. Will you allow him to be buried in the churchyard with the others?
Oh, of course, of course.
Did you mark the Hessian soldier's grave?
We will. I must go to Danbury and talk to the stonecutters. I thought of a stone with all the names inscribed on it. But the truth is, we're not a wealthy church.
How much will it cost?
$100 Spanish or £10 sterling. It would have to be a large stone.
Add the boy's name to it, please.
Of course. Should I have some small service here?
I'm going to ask Raymond Heather what to do. Do the Quakers have any special ritual for the dead? I'm afraid I don't know.
They're good Christians. If they want to, it might be better if they should do it. It's not easy for me to say this, but it might be better. Dr. Feversham, do not judge us too harshly. You've been a soldier. You know how merciless war is.
Is war merciless? Or are men merciless, Pastor? A word with you, Hunt, in private, please.
Keep the noise down, you men.
Come over here.
Well, what is it?
I have Raymond Heather and his daughter Sally outside.
You brought them here today?
It was not my doing. The girl has a will of her own.
Well, if they're here, they're here. What of it?
She wants to see the Hessian.
Damn you, Feversham, what kind of nonsense is this? What good will it do for them to see each other now?
No good, as far as you or I are concerned, but it's something she wants, and wants desperately.
Tell her no. Do you not understand that Packenham is running this? Now I'm out of it.
I don't think you are out of it, Hunt.
I know what Packenham will say.
I don't think you give a damn what Packenham will say. I think you despise him as much as I do. You did this thing, Hunt, not Packenham. Are you going to tell me now that you haven't got the guts to stand up for it? Do it, Hunt. Do this thing.
Oh, bring her round by the back way. I do not want her coming through here.
This way. Follow me.
Open the door, Jeb.
But Squire, my order...
Open it.
Go in, Sally.
Sally?
15 minutes.
I'll wait for you, Sally.
I thought you would stay with me.
I've no wish to overhear what they say.
A German who speaks kitchen English and a 15-year-old Quaker girl. What can they have to say to each other?
What indeed?
What in hell's name are you smirking at, Jeb? You look to your work.
Thank you for doing this. I'll wait here for the girl and then I'll take her back to her father.
Is everything ready, Squire Hunt?
It is, Colonel. Bring my Hessian out!
He carries himself proudly, Doctor.
And bravely. His life is ending almost before it has begun. And he can only justify this meaningless death by being brave. How many boys have killed or been killed because they must be brave?
I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Bring the boy forward.
Oh, Father, Father.
Have courage, daughter. Courage. Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass that when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?
And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground.
In The Hessian by Howard Fast, Derek Jacobi was Evan Feversham, Patricia Gallimore, Alice Feversham, and Ian Hogg, Squire Hunt. Raymond Heather was Steve Hodson, Sarah Heather, Hedley Nicklow, Sally, Catherine Hurlbut, and Jacob, Sean Lay. Saul Clamberham and Hans Pohl were played by Kerry Shale, Rodney Stephan and Colonel St. August by Blaine Fairman, Friar Hesselman and Bosley Crippet by Harry Taub, and General Packenham by Noel Johnson. Jenny Perkins and Zipporah Dorset were Liza Ross, John Dorset and the Hessian officer John Livesey, Abigail Hunt, Shirley Stelfox, and Salem Allen, Sean Probert. Billy was Jonathan Owen and the Hessian sergeant, Crawford Logan. The novel was adapted for radio by Ramsey Williams and was directed in Birmingham by Vanessa Whitburn.
You can hear the Hessian again on Monday afternoon at 2 minutes past 3.